From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest Wisconsin studio on the campus of UW-La Crosse. Today on Newsmakers, we're talking about a new partnership between UWL and the J.F. Brennan Company. They're working together to offer more opportunities to students in the environmental sciences, and we're going to talk about all of that today on the program. And joining us to do so, Roger Harrow is the Associate Dean of the Department of Science and Health at UW-La Crosse. Dean Harrow, thank you very much for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
And Matt Binsfeld is the President and CEO of J.F. Brennan Company. Matt, thank you for being here.
Good afternoon, Ezra. Thank you for having me, sir.
Let's start with your company, Matt. What is J.F. Brennan Company? Before we get into the details of your arrangement with UWL, just set the stage for us. What do you do?
Sure. Well, we are a La Crosse-based business. Everything that we do, we like to say, is in, above, adjacent, or below the water. We're a family business. We were started by my great-grandfather 100 years ago, or a little over 100 years ago, in Lansing, Iowa. We say, you know, we are a family business, but really we're a business of families and a lot of good people. Through the decades, the business has evolved to what it presently is today. Today, my brothers and I, three brothers and I, the four of us lead the business. And we're doing basically water-based infrastructure work, be it environmental cleanup, barge transportation, underwater construction, infrastructure construction, resiliency or sustainability along the coastlines, things of that nature. But everything that we do touches the water in some way. And presently, we're doing that basically coast to coast to coast, from the East Coast to the West Coast to the Gulf Coast and all parts in between.
Sounds very interesting and a lot of hard work and a lot of science goes into that. And we'll talk about that later, because that has to do with the partnership that you're establishing with the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. As I mentioned, Roger Harrow is also here. He's the Dean of the Department of Science and Health at UWL. And Roger, why don't we give sort of the big picture of your department before we get into the specifics of the arrangement with J.F. Brennan Company? What disciplines fall within UWL's Department of Science and Health?
Sure. Just a quick correction, Ezra. It's the College of Science and Health. So we have 11 different departments, separate departments that are encapsulated in the College of Science and Health at UWL, ranging from health professions, mathematics and statistics, chemistry, biochemistry, microbiology, biology, geography and earth science, rec management, therapeutic recreation. There's a whole host of classic science departments, mathematics departments, and then in our health professions. And so it's an array of disciplines. It's a very good college. I'm biased, but we are recognized as one of the top of the comprehensive universities in the University of Wisconsin system. And our College of Science plays a large role in that recognition. So the other thing that has been part of the college for a long time, it's what we refer to as a non-curricular unit, which means it's not really involved with teaching classes, but is the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse's River Studies Center. We're happy enough to celebrate our 50th year of operation this year. And so being a river town, the UW River Studies Center has been part of that for a long time. And really the vision is to create the next generation of people that have aquatic expertise and background for the challenges that meet us, that are facing us today.
So there's the River Studies Center, and then within your college, all of the different departments that you mentioned, and thanks for the clarification on that. Obviously, I don't know what I was thinking when I was typing, but among all of those students in all of those different disciplines, which ones do you see as being primarily targeted by this new arrangement between UW-La Crosse Lacrosse and the JF Renning Company.
I think Matt can speak to that too, but I see quite a swath of different disciplines. That's what makes this really exciting. You know, the technology that is needed to understand what Matt was talking about is highly advanced and creates very large data streams. And so lots of information, and you can collect incredible amounts, both below the water now and above the water, using some very sophisticated instrumentation, LIDAR, multi-beam sonar, and the like, and many other highly sensitive instruments. But so that's being able to use those. Those are often spatial. So geography and earth science majors are very involved there. But along with that goes, you know, the reasons that we measure those things are often in terms of commerce and economy. So you can talk about economics as well. But because of the sheer amount of data coming in, trying to understand the signal from the noise that all that data has, you know, mathematics and statistics plays a huge role. So, and then there's some more traditional areas where we're talking about, what is important to us in the river, you know, including navigation, but also our aquatic resources, which have biological and chemical aspects, as well as microbiological aspects. So there's a wide variety of potential applications that could come from this relationship. And I think Matt can speak greatly about the need for folks coming into the industry that way as well. So I might pass the baton over to Matt.
Yeah, you know, I think the beauty of this partnership and you know, Roger had, you know, listed some of the different areas and tracks of curriculum within the university that students going along those tracks can and may get involved, through the River Studies program with this partnership. You know, in addition to that, people in information systems, I'd also add in there as well, too. But I think what the beauty about this partnership is, is that what we are doing is taking some very, you know, highly developed curriculum tracks, right, be it in the sciences, be it in mathematics, geography, information systems, you know, really you can name, just practically the entire list there at the university. And what we're doing is using one of the greatest laboratories probably in the country, being the Mississippi River Valley, using that great outdoor laboratory and taking the technology that we're using in our business every day, and not just the technology, but the techniques, right, and the protocols that are used in the various industries in which we work. And we're giving these young people the opportunity in a real life situation here in the Mississippi Valley to learn these different protocols, techniques, the things that will make them job ready, internship ready. We're looking, to take these young people and get them into internships if they're so interested. And ultimately, you know, we would love to see them one day come to Brennan, but, you know, really at the end of the day, we would love to see them, you know, find their way into, I think, probably what is going to be one of the most interesting fields as we look for the next 20 and 50 years is the areas of water science, right? Already in this country, we're seeing, when it comes to water cleanliness or clarity of water issues, we're seeing the abundance of water in some areas of this country affecting different things, and we're seeing the lack of water in this country affecting things. And so I just think it's going to be such an incredibly exciting time for a young person to be entering this water science field. And that's really what we're trying to do, is put the jetpack to giving these young people experiences that day one they could walk into any company, any industry involved around water sciences and really be a contributor right away.
Well, there's obviously some common interest between your company, Matt, and the various departments that you oversee, Roger. I'm wondering, now there's an official agreement between the two organizations. Let's start with you, Matt. What does the agreement between Brennan and UWL set forth?
Actually, it's almost a year ago now that Roger and his team from UWL Jay and Caroline Scott from the Prairie Springs, Paul Fleckenstein Charitable Trust, and folks from the La Crosse Community Foundation walked into Brennan here. And they said, hey, we are working to get a replacement vessel, a new research vessel for the UWL River Studies program. Frankly, they were sitting with my brothers and I, and frankly, we didn't know a lot specifically about what the River Studies program was teaching and the curriculum and whatnot. And so we spent, really, it just became a whiteboard session as they educated us. And we're like, wow, that's really cool. That actually applies tangentially to our business. And if we could do this, we could actually make it more, in line with what's going on in industry and things of that nature. And it was really a great think tank session. As those folks walked in the door, they had looked at with Brennan participating in some of the support issues surrounding the research vessel. And as we all walked out the door, we said, yes, let's get this research vessel done. But then let's take a second step here, where we are bringing some real industry techniques, protocol, what have you, to these young people who are using the vessel, right, in the form of equipment, in the form of know-how and training and things like that. And so ultimately, the agreement that we have in place now is really a two-step agreement. It was one that surrounds the support around the vessel itself, but then secondly, this partnership between UWL and Brennan, where we're going to support their curriculum and technology efforts as they go out into the field and really get these young people some high-powered hands-on training.
I want to talk about that vessel in our next segment when we have a little bit more time to really dig into it, because I was intrigued about that the first time I read about it. I didn't even know that such a thing existed in La Crosse, that research vessel. But I want to ask, Roger, from your perspective of this agreement, Matt laid out some of the ways that your organizations are going to be interacting. What kind of value do you see being provided to UWL's students? How does this benefit their current educational goals and their future professional endeavors?
Yeah, so the one thing that, we attract students from all walks of life in all parts of Wisconsin and around the region, and a lot of them are fascinated by science and fascinated by engineering and problem solving, these young people, most of them are traditional students, 17, 18 years old coming in the college, and they've seen very traditional routes of careers and things like that. They don't often recognize the importance and the opportunities that exist, getting those technical backgrounds, but where they can apply those backgrounds in industry. I think one of the great opportunities that this will provide is giving those experiential opportunities to these young people so that they can see, how it operates. A large outfit like JF Brennan operates in the diversification of their services, and get excited about the roles that they can play, and actually thinking about what they're learning in the classroom and maybe out in the field through UWL, but also thinking about seeing people and working together in teams in an industry that's so critical to the economic livelihood of our state and to the upper Midwest, and how challenging and rewarding, being part and being ready to be part of an industry like the one that JF Brennan is involved in. And so that's an opportunity that really is, for us, very intriguing that way for our students. The other area that's really also really exciting is that it lets our faculty and research staff and teaching staff interact with folks that are working in this area and that are seeing daily challenges in terms of the work and the jobs that they're being that they're undergoing and learning from them how we should be, you know, because things are changing. Like Matt said, technology is changing. And so just being able to interact with folks at JF Brennan to talk about, well, let's talk about how we're presenting this information or a new development in technology is coming out and how it's being used by industry to support navigation services, for example, on the Mississippi River or on the Great Lakes. It's really a two-sided coin for us, because we can learn, from people that are out doing it in the field. We're in the field too, but we're often focused on very specific scientific questions or research questions. But, you know, those sorts of challenges, I can tell you, work being a field biologist, the challenges that JF Brennan is facing in terms of getting their jobs done, we can gain from understanding that those and how their workarounds, how their problem solving processes work as well. So I think there's some great opportunities not only for our students, but for our faculty and research staff and instructional staff at UWL with this partnership.
That's Roger Harrow. He's the Associate Dean of the College of Science and Health at UW-La Crosse. Matt Binsfeld is here as well, the President and CEO of JF Brennan Company. And we're talking about a new partnership between those two organizations here on Newsmakers today. You can email our program anytime throughout the week at newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. We'll continue in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwestern Bureau. The environmental sciences are a big part of our conversation today, and in particular, a new memorandum of understanding between JF Brennan Company and UW-La Crosse related to providing some really important resources to UWL's students in the various aspects of the environmental sciences, and also hopefully make some of them help them to become very career ready as they get ready to leave college and go to companies like Brennan. But you mentioned that research vessel earlier, Matt, and my antennae went up, and I'm excited to talk about that because it never occurred to me that such a thing exists here. Roger, talk about the existing research vessel. Like how long has it been in use, and what kind of research information does it help gather with your various students who work with it?
Yeah, so currently we don't have the new vessel yet. It's being fabricated by the Munson Boat Company in the Puget Sound area in Washington. But right before I came here, which was in 1996, the River Study Center had a number of very large sort of houseboat situations. One was called the John Muir. And they would go through the locks and do sampling and do a lot of things, but it slept a lot of people, and they got around and did a lot of sampling on it. We couldn't maintain that anymore. And so when I started here and up until present time, we have a flotilla of very small John boats that we use, to get around. We put them on all sorts of water, probably some water that we probably have thought maybe we shouldn't be putting them on. but we get around that way. We use them for both classes and research on the Mississippi and on the Great Lakes as well. But the time was coming. You can only do so much and get so far and having a small flotilla like that. And so there were discussions about trying to get a new large vessel, but not so much a houseboat situation, but a true research vessel that is equipped so that we could make our way up river or down river in a fairly good amount of time, cover a lot of groundwork, collect a lot of data, but also serve as a platform for really the cutting edge instrumentation, not only with multi-beam sonar and single beam sonar that look below the surface, but also deployed with multi-probe sensors to sense water quality and have high levels of data acquisition that way, to looking at light attenuation, look at sediment loads, and looking at nutrients in the water, oxygen levels, and a suite of other things. And then also being able to have a boat where we can do above water work in terms of surveillance and looking at surveying using things like LIDAR, which has very, very fine resolution to collect spatial information above the water, as well through drone work. So launching actually drones with these LIDAR systems and other types of sensors above the channel to look at the island structure. For example, we have major changes going on in our floodplain forest right now. As the silver maple meets its they're kind of going to the end of their term, and so there's lots of changes in the forest going on. What's that mean for the delivery of wood into the river, which can be beneficial, but can also then lead to obstructions at times for barges and other craft, and just understanding that whole cycle, that whole process, that all those things are need. Can rely on, and we can gain great understanding by with a platform that can get around the river and the navigation pools, but also as a way that we can mount very, very sensitive and high-end instruments so our students are seeing what's being used by companies like J.F. Brennan and others, and learn how to utilize those instruments for the best understanding that they can.
If I could add in there too, maybe,
yes.
Because Roger brought up a great point about the boat. When they came in here and they told us about their vision for this boat, we said, wait a second, that sounds like, you know, we have a fleet of boats that do exactly what Roger was talking about there, you know, throughout the country. And very often the innovation happens in industry most normally, right? And industry is out there developing new techniques, and education follows behind and, you know, documents the techniques, creates curriculum, and then trains, you know, young people as they come up into the industry. And I think the uniqueness about this partnership, specifically when we talk about water science, and the things that surround that industry, is that we are taking the leading innovative equipment techniques, you know, that are on the front, the leading edge, so to speak, in our industry. And we are outfitting the research vessel with these different pieces. So essentially, we are funneling these techniques, these pieces of equipment, directly to students at UWL and the River Studies Center, so that they get basically, real time, if you will, understanding of the latest, technologies going on in industry versus the lag that you pretty typically see as education follows up behind industry.
You talked about, how many of these boats that your company has used all over the country. I want to give people sort of a picture in their mind of what we're talking about here. So replacing the aforementioned flotilla of John boats is going to be a boat that is, how big are we talking here?
It's already been named. It's called the Research Vessel Prairie Springs, or the RV Prairie Springs, after the Paul Fleckenstein Prairie Springs Trust. So it's going to be a 32-foot vessel. It's almost like a catamaran system. It looks like a catamaran. And it will have a drop down door so that it has a draft. And what the draft means is how much of the boat sinks down below the waterline. Okay. And so then that's very important, because it basically regulates how far, how, how close to shore and how shallow the boat can run. So it has an 18-inch draft, which means we can get around places, not all places, especially this year. So, we can get around pretty well. And then it has it'll have a cabin that, you know, it's a pilot house, but it will also have some refrigeration capacity, some pump capacities, a sink that can be used for some initial chemistry work if we're taking samples. So that's a lot of times water samples need to be filtered before they're stored for later analysis. That can be done on the boat. It's going to have a lot of like Matt said, a multi-beam sonar system that's mounted on the side. We will also have, it will have a what we call a davit, which is basically a winch that you can drop things down in water and take grabs of sediment, but also have a powered arm in like a crane system. So for very large things, if we want to tow, say there are things that you can tow on the bottom of the river to collect larval fish to see what reproduction is being like, and we're looking at other types of biological sampling systems, so we can get a feel for what's out there, especially in nursery areas for fish and their food base. So there's what we're really trying to do with this boat is it'll probably have a maximum crew of about 8 people. And so there are some limitations that go on from the Coast Guard in terms of how many students that we can have on board at any one time. And that maximum capacity at any one time is 6 students. We can, and then obviously trained pilots and which will be faculty that will be trained and even I think some emeritus faculty, some of our retired folks would like to come out and learn how to run the boat. We're also looking for we're working on getting this prepared so we can do those things. So it's going to be it's really going to be for going out and getting a lot of different types of sampling done over a large variety of conditions. And so we could, you know, we will still have those smaller boats possibly in tow. If we can't get into some backwater areas, we can get in there and do some sampling. Because I mean, that's what's so fascinating about the river. It's a mosaic of islands and backwaters and channels. That's what makes it so fascinating to study. And so we wanted something that would give us that range of access to the river.
And you said the boat is currently being put together, and the ETA in this area is when?
The ETA is we're dealing with supply chain issues.
Oh yeah, everybody's singing that song these days.
Yeah, so I mean, our hope is that we'll have the delivery of the boat in July of 2023.
Okay,
but a lot of things have to happen before that. We have a lot of planning to do. The other thing that we would like to try to do with this vessel is to make sure that there's some outreach that can come out of this. So one of the areas that like the National Science Foundation will permit if an institution has a National Science Foundation grant, they make available auxiliary money that can help bring in K-12 teachers to give them experiences in these areas, and so we're hoping that we'll be able to also explore those sorts of opportunities for the community, and so our K-12 educators will have maybe a week that we can do some work with them and others out in the field. We want to try to make it as much community access that we can, given what we can do with the boat. and really maximize. Because again, like Matt was saying, I mean, if you can show a young person that is in third grade or fourth grade, you know how many firefighters we get when young people go up and take a look at a big rig.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, I mean, you can think of the same thing that could go on when you have a young person and think about doing work on a vessel like this and going to work for a company like J.F. Brennan and you know, it's our river, it's our home, right? And these kids see the barges, they see boats, it's fascinating. I've always been fascinated by water, and so you can see that it could really create a real strong pipeline of interest, and also realizing it's not just getting on a boat, but it's also knowing to do you need to know mathematics, you need to know chemistry, you need to problem solve when you're on these vessels, and I think that's a real opportunity that we have to develop interest in some critical areas.
Well, it kind of gives kids an end game. Like if a student sees, okay, this stuff I complain about having to learn or whatever, here's the actual a purpose of how that information is used in a real life situation, and it's something that I'm now interested in. Yeah. That's Roger Harrow, who's been speaking. He's the Associate Dean of the College of Science and Health at UW-La Crosse. Also talking with us today on Newsmakers is Matt Binsfeld, the President and CEO of J.F. Brennan Company. And we're talking about a new partnership between UWL and Brennan that will hopefully create some really cool opportunities for students at UWL. We've been talking about the big research festival that is underway as part of that partnership as well, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment. If you'd like to listen to part of our conversation that you might have missed or catch a previous episode, we put all of them online, and you can find them on our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. That's wpr.org/newsmakers. Or find us in your favorite podcasting platform. Just search for WPR Newsmakers on your favorite podcatcher, and you should be able to find us right there. We continue our conversation in just a moment. It's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios in La Crosse, continuing our conversation with Roger Harrow from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse and Matt Binsfeld from the J.F. Brennan Company. And right now I'm interested in talking about Brennan, because people are used to the large infrastructure projects. And when they think of a company like yours, they're thinking of, you know, docks and dams and so on. And they're thinking, really, they're thinking of you as like a water-based construction company. But really, I want you to talk about like work that you're involved in that people might not think of right away, Matt, or like the you talked earlier about the ways that companies like yours really can be a leading contributor to what we know about the environment.
Well, yeah. So, you know, I think you're correct. People think of us mostly as a company involved with marine transportation up and down the Mississippi River and the barges that move up and down. You know, we grew up as essentially a construction company working on infrastructure, you know, water-facing infrastructure, and we still do a lot of work in both of those areas. You know, things probably people don't think about us necessarily or as much so as, you know, we are doing a tremendous, probably more than any company in the country, subaqueous environmental cleanup, right? So we'll go into communities throughout the country where there was waste deposited historically over a period of decades and deposited, you know, several to many decades ago. And we'll go in and we'll clean up these different riverine or estuary type environments and make them, you know, not only usable in the sense where, you know, the fishery, you know, reemerges and things of that nature, but very often that work is the cornerstone to you know, an economic revival of certain areas that may have been maybe a former Rust Belt type town or what have you. So it starts with the environmental cleanup, and that's the type of work we're involved with. We're also involved with a tremendous amount of underwater construction, and that involves, you know, highly skilled divers going down, commercial divers who go underwater, and they do welding, they do concrete work, they do all sorts of different construction type work below the water. It's very highly sophisticated in terms of not only the work that we're doing, but the protocols and the procedures to safely put somebody in that environment. And there's a tremendous amount of ROV type work which is a remotely operated vehicle type work that associates with our underwater construction work. So where you'll have somebody on the surface operating a vehicle that can go down and do certain features of work on its own. Other pieces of work that we do, we're very involved with subaqueous cable laying, which most prominently lends itself to some of this offshore wind work that's now being built out on the East Coast. But even more so in this country, we're seeing a move towards grid hardening. And when I say grid hardening, we're essentially in a time where we are reconstructing the electrical grid in this country. And a lot of it is either being, new transmission lines and things of that nature, but a lot of it's also being, buried subaqueously, in the water, underneath the soil in the water, so that when hurricanes come and things of that nature, it's not taking out the grid. It's more protected. And they call that grid hardening. And we're involved in a great deal of that work. And finally, I'd say, we're very involved as well, too, with hydro energy. So we do a tremendous amount of work in the hydro industry, whether it's on the actual power facility itself or the water control structures that feed water into these power producing structures and what have you. So, as I said earlier, everything that we do in some way is in, above, adjacent, or below the water. It touches the water in some fashion, and to do that, of course, you can imagine we need highly skilled people, highly trained people, be it trades professionals, be it engineers, be it scientists. And this partnership specifically with UWL is unique in that sense, is that, in our industry, there's not or there hasn't been a big push to put the technologies and the techniques and the training directly in students' hands at the university level like we're doing here. And so that's what makes this different than, say, maybe other corporate partnerships with colleges and universities.
You're teaching me something new, and I'm using context clues, and I think I know what subaqueous means, but does that just mean underwater?
Yes, sir. So very good question. As Roger had talked about earlier, a lot of the equipment that, will attach itself to this research vessel is so that we can get precise mapping and precise locating and, pair that with sampling techniques and things of that nature below water, right? Where you can't just go out and do a physical survey like you would normally do above water. When I say subaqueous, that's a very good question. A lot of what we do very much of what we do is below the water. You can't see it. And so you got to ask yourself, how do you see this, how do you put construction or put new pieces in place or execute work that you can't see? And the techniques that we're talking about here, the acoustical techniques and equipment that we'll pair the research vessel with, do exactly just that. They allow us to have eyeballs, if you will, under the water.
Talking about all of the different things that that you're staff have to do, like the members of your team that are out there doing the concrete work underwater, doing the welding underwater, all these kinds of things that you talked about. What kind of education do people have to be able to do that kind of work?
First of all, it's a lot of education, right? And it comes in different forms, right? We rely on our union partnerships, for instance, to train people in the highly skilled trades professionals, right? So these people are coming up through a apprenticeship where they're learning certain skills above the water, learning to become a diver in addition to that, so that they can take above water skills and bring them below water. So, you know, there's a great deal of training in that area with our union partner through our union partnerships. There's a great deal of, you know, we rely tremendously on engineers and scientists, right? And that's, you know, here, the training that we're talking about is, you know, you take UWL as example number one, but, you know, you can look across the UW system and so many of the schools within that system have, you know, access to different parts of this great state and to fresh access to fresh water that, frankly, a lot of other states don't have. And so you're seeing, you know, what we can do here in Wisconsin, if you will, very uniquely, is take high quality in-classroom curriculum and training and pair that with real life situation, be it on the Mississippi River, be it on the Wisconsin River, be it on Lake Superior or Lake Michigan. Wisconsin can do that uniquely, right? UWL is a great example, but I look throughout the system and you see a lot of wonderful water science going on throughout the entire system.
So I'm wondering from your perspective, Roger, how have institutions like UWL seen demand growing for education in areas related to modern industrial work like this, or the really like science focused, the real like elevated or more like advanced aspects of projects like this?
We're involved. UWL is a partner involved with the University of Wisconsin System Initiative called the Freshwater Collaborative of Wisconsin. One of the reasons that this collaborative formed, it's a collaborative between all 13 of the University of Wisconsin System campuses, everybody bringing something special to the table. UWL's our relationship with the large river, but you can talk about UW Green Bay, UW Stevens Point, Madison, Milwaukee, having the School of Freshwater Science in Milwaukee, all bring our forces together. In response to need, the water sector is a major player, and there is a huge human resource need to satisfy our growing dependency on freshwater resources, and so from you know, if you take a look at just the companies, including J.F. Brennan, but the Kohler Corporation, you know, Johnson Controls, there are many institutions and private industries in Wisconsin that are keenly water based. And so the UN has done extensive work internationally, and the need for water and water infrastructure and potable water sources and agricultural water use, it's just immense. You can go to areas, and there's, like Matt said, there's areas of plenty and areas of scarcity as we approach the mega drought in the West. There are places where some of the most productive agricultural areas in the country is in the Imperial Valley of Southern California and Arizona, and they are in a world of hurt because they are not without a lot of water. And so there are challenges that we need to face as a country, and there's great need both not only for scientists, but for policymakers. And I'm really glad that Matt brought up his union partners, because there's a huge need for skilled tradespeople. And I think you hear that and you say that it's always college, but the trades are so important in our economy. And I think those are really, really valuable careers to the people. And so it's really nice to know that there's a variety of approaches, not only university, but trades as well. I think we need to recognize those. And there's a lot of opportunity in the water sector, and a lot of challenges. And we need to be ready to meet those challenges. I just finished up a book called Water, the Biography of Water. And it talks about how societies and cultures have risen and fallen because of water. And we need to be prepared and training our people so that it's the importance of our nation and our livelihood and our communities. And so it's serious stuff, but it's exciting.
Matt, I'm wondering about your company and your industry. What advancements are on the horizon that you kind of are starting to see that you're looking forward to? What's the next evolutionary phase of your kind of work?
You take, for instance, our underwater work, where we're taking, working underwater to, fix a situation, perform, construction or what have you. What's very interestingly occurring is that there is technology now being developed where, as the diver is looking through their, through their helmet and whatnot, they have the opportunity to toggle on and off 3D renderings of the finished product so that they can see where they are in reality to the finished product, right? We're using virtual design and construction techniques, right? And which on one end, you have what we call VDC, virtual design and construction, that sits, in the office and the computer and people can look at. But what we're doing is taking those and we're using the technology, in the field where we're taking that virtually designed environment and allowing the person who's working underwater to take access of it while they're at work. So that's one example of new technology that's coming. The ROV technology, as I mentioned earlier, is always advancing, right? As a young boy, I always think of the search for the Titanic and the ROVs that they used back then, right? Which, was one of those experiences Roger talked about when you're a young person, it sticks in your mind. And, now we have a fleet of ROVs here at Brennan that, continually are being advanced in their capabilities on, the different attachments and the different things that you can do with those ROVs. So that's in one area, of the business. Other areas of the business where, or of industry where we see a tremendous amount of innovation occurring is in environmental cleanup, for instance, right? Going into these, different environments, and there are different techniques, at large. Essentially, you can remove the contamination, right, which is one technique. But there are also ways to safely cover or cap, different areas. And there's a lot of advancement in using different substrates and different, formulas, things of that nature, to create these caps that really protect. Create a protection layer that allow a habitat to reestablish itself. So there's a lot of great science and innovation going on in that area. And then, I look at some of the most interesting area of, water and what's going on, adjacent to our coastlands is the offshore build of the wind farms, right? This work now is moving forward. I mean, we're involved with some of these first wind farms that are bringing in cables from as these farms will be built out here in the next number of years. And it's exciting. It's not new technology in the sense that, you go to Northern Europe, it's all over there, but it's new for here, right? And so, what's interesting is as a country and as a nation, we have to build the human capital infrastructure to do that work because it's something that has really never occurred here before. And I think that hits onto what Roger was saying before, too, is that, the opportunity I think we have in Wisconsin at UWL and in Wisconsin at large, when we talk about some of these water related issues moving forward, whether it's clarity, contamination, the abundance or lack of water, these are going to be solved by people. These are going to be solved by people that have been, highly skilled people, whether it's trades professionals, whether it's scientists, whether it's engineers. And I think Wisconsin uniquely has the opportunity because of where we are located to create that human capital that'll be at the forefront ultimately of solving these issues. So it's a very exciting time, not only, like I said earlier, to be in the water science area, but it's a very exciting time if you're a young person and going to school in the state of Wisconsin.
That's Matt Binsfeld. He's the president and CEO of JF Brennan Company. Matt, I want to thank you very much for being on Newsmakers today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Ezra. Thank you, Roger.
Roger Harrow is the Associate Dean of the College of Science and Health at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Roger, thank you very much as well.
Thanks, Ezra. Thanks to you, Matt.
This has been a very interesting conversation. As I mentioned before, if you'd like to hear it again, you can find all of our shows online at WPR.org/newsmakers. That's WPR.org/newsmakers. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's how you can listen to our program every week. We're on Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3. We're on Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And of course, we're always online at WPR.org/newsmakers. Production help this week from Kate Spranger. Thanks very much, Kate. I'm Ezra Wall. Join us again next time for another Newsmakers, right here from Wisconsin Public Radio.